Good evening. It's good to see you here. I'm Patrice Pakish, and I'm the director of music here. And are there some unfamiliar faces? I'm really excited to see you here. We just wanted to do this for that very reason, to give some people who haven't been inside our doors a chance to be with us. So, the program is lasting a little over an hour, so there's no break, and there will be a free will offering at the door after. Actually, I didn't arrange for that yet, but I'll get somebody to do that. And please join us for a reception after in the Commons. Misa Gaia translates as Earth Mass, Misa being Mass and Gaia for Earth. You'll find some interesting information in the programs that Roger put together for last time. I think it's very interesting, and I'd like to add a few bits for those who may not be familiar with Latin Mass texts. The Kyrie translates to Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. Besides the apparent meaning, there's also an inference which is sort of like, Lord have mercy, like you are the great one. So that, I think, comes through in this setting. Icarus is an instrumental piece that I first heard and fell in love with when I lived in Eau Claire in 1976 and discovered the morning program on Minnesota Public Radio. And I was hooked on Paul Winter consort in the morning program from there on. From Wikipedia, in Greek mythology, Icarus and his father attempt to escape from the island of Crete by means of wings that his father constructed from feathers and wax. Icarus's father warns him first of complacency and then of hubris, asking that he fly neither too low nor too high. But Icarus ignored his father's instructions, and when the wax in his wings melted, he tumbled out of the sky and fell into the sea where he drowned, sparking the idiom, don't fly too close to the sun. This music seems to me to be the part before the wax melts, though, because it's pretty happy. The Sanctus translates as holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest, and it truly is the highest for the sopranos. They are doing some really high excelsis up there. Agnus Dei is Lamb of God. You take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, and also grant us peace. You'll see an interesting note about that in the program, where there's a substitution of a seal pup in place of the lamb in the image for that. And Ubi Caritas, where there is love, there is God. There's also a great story in that, in the program, about the juxtaposition of Latin and African and how that came to be. So this has been a huge undertaking, and so many people have worked to make it happen, and I appreciate all of you so much and all the little details that people are scurrying to finalize before, because there's just it's complicated, but it's really going to be worth it. So I thank all those for put their hearts and souls and artistry and time into bringing this together tonight. So now please join in celebrating creation.
Laudato si, mi Signore. Praise be to you, my Lord. In the words of this beautiful canticle, St. Francis of Assisi reminds us that our common home is like a sister with whom we share our life, and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us. Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, and who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs. This sister now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her. We have come to see ourselves as her lords and masters, entitled to plunder her at will. The violence present in our hearts, wounded by sin, is also reflected in the symptoms of sickness, evident in the soil, in the water, in the air, and in all forms of life. This is why the earth herself, burdened and laid waste, is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. We have forgotten that we ourselves are dust of the earth. Our very bodies are made up of her elements. We breathe her air, and we receive life and refreshment from her waters. Faced as we are with global environmental deterioration, I wish to address every person living on this planet. I would like to enter into dialogue with all people about our common home. Our goal is not to amass information or to satisfy curiosity, but rather to become painfully aware, to dare to turn what is happening to the world into our own personal suffering, and thus to discover what each of us can do about it. our home is beginning to look more and more like an immense pile of filth. Each year, hundreds of millions of tons of waste are generated, much of it non-biodegradable, highly toxic and radioactive, from homes and businesses, from construction and demolition sites, from clinical, electronic, and industrial sources. These problems are closely linked to a throwaway culture, which affects the excluded just as it quickly reduces things to rubbish. What kind of a world do we want to leave to those who come after us, to children who are now growing up? The pace of consumption, waste, and environmental change has so stretched the planet's capacity that our contemporary lifestyle, unsustainable as it is, can only precipitate catastrophes, such as those which even now occur in different parts of the world. The effects of the present imbalance can only be reduced by our decisive action here and now. Thank you. I believe that St. Francis is the perfect example of care for the vulnerable and of an integral ecology lived out joyfully and authentically. He was particularly concerned for God's creation and for the poor and outcast. He loved and was deeply loved for his joy, his generous self-giving, his open-heartedness. He shows us just how inseparable the bond is between concern for nature, justice for the poor, commitment to society, and interior peace. Francis helps us to see that an integral ecology calls for openness to categories which transcend the language of mathematics and biology and take us to the heart of what it is to be human. Just as happens when we fall in love with someone, whenever he would gaze at the sun, the moon, or the smallest of animals, he burst into song, drawing all other creatures into his praise. He communed with all creation, even preaching to the flowers, inviting them to praise the Lord, just as if they were endowed with reason. His response to the world around him was so much more than intellectual appreciation or economic calculus. For to him, each and every creature was a sister united to him by bonds of affection. This is why he felt called to care for all that exists. Such a conviction cannot be written off as naive romanticism, for it affects the choices which determine our behavior. If we approach nature and the environment without openness to awe and wonder, if we no longer speak the language of fraternity and beauty in our relationship with the world, our attitude will be that of masters, consumers, ruthless exploiters, unable to set limits on their immediate needs. By contrast, if we feel intimately united with all that exists, then sobriety and care will well up spontaneously. The poverty and austerity of St. Francis were no mere veneer of asceticism, but something much more radical, a refusal to turn reality into an object, simply to be used and controlled.
It lives in the seed of a tree as it grows. You can hear it if you listen to the wind as it blows. It's there in the river as it flows into the sea. It's the sound in the soul of one becoming free. And it lives in the laughter of children at play, and in the blazing sun to the day. It moves the planets and the stars in the sky. It's been the mover of mountains since the beginning of time. Oh, mystery, you are alive.
Thank you.
Each creature has its own purpose. None is superfluous. The entire material universe speaks of God's love, his boundless affection for us. Soil, water, mountains, everything is, as it were, a caress of God. God has written a precious book whose letters are the multitude of created things present in the universe. From panoramic vistas to the tiniest living form, nature is a constant source of wonder and awe. It is also a continuing revelation of the divine. To sense each creature singing the hymn of its existence is to live joyfully in God's love and hope.
Thank you.
It is not enough to think of different species merely as potential resources to be exploited, while overlooking the fact that they have value in themselves. Each year sees the disappearance of thousands of plant and animal species which we will never know, which our children will never see, because they have been lost to us forever. The great majority become extinct for reasons related to human activity. Because of us, thousands of species will no longer give glory to God by their very existence, nor convey their message to us. We have no such right. The ultimate purpose of other creatures is not to be found in us. Rather, all creatures are moving forward with us and through us toward a common point of arrival, which is God, in that transcendent fullness where the risen Christ embraces and illumines all things. Thank you. Human beings, too, are creatures of this world, enjoying a right to life and happiness, and endowed with unique dignity. So we cannot fail to consider the effects on people's lives of environmental deterioration, current models of development, and the throwaway culture. The human environment and the natural environment deteriorate together. We cannot adequately combat environmental degradation unless we attend to causes related to human and social degradation. In fact, the deterioration of the environment and of society affects the most vulnerable people on the planet. Both everyday experience and scientific research show that the gravest effects of all attacks on the environment are suffered by the poorest. There is little awareness of problems which especially affect the excluded. Yet they are the majority of the planet's population, billions of people. These days, they are mentioned in international political and economic discussions, but one often has the impression that their problems are brought up as an afterthought. When all is said and done, they frequently remain at the bottom of the pile. We have to realize that a true ecological approach always becomes a social approach. It must integrate questions of justice in debates on the environment so as to hear both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor.
Caritas et amor, Deus ibi est. Ubi caritas et amor, Deus ibi est. Congregabit nos in unum Christi.
A sense of deep communion with the rest of nature cannot be real if our hearts lack tenderness, compassion, and concern for our fellow human beings. When our hearts are authentically open to universal communion, this sense of fraternity excludes nothing and no one. It follows that our indifference or cruelty towards fellow creatures of this world sooner or later affects the treatment we mete out to other human beings. We have only one heart, and the same wretchedness which leads us to mistreat an animal will not be long in showing itself in our relationships with other people. Everything is related, and we human beings are united as brothers and sisters on a wonderful pilgrimage, woven together by the love God has for each of his creatures, and which also unites us in fond affection with brother sun, sister moon, brother river, and mother earth. find ourselves face to face with the infinite beauty of God and be able to read with admiration and happiness the mystery of the universe, which with us will share in unending plenitude. Even now, we are journeying toward the Sabbath of eternity, the New Jerusalem, towards our common home in heaven. In the meantime, we come together to take charge of this home which has been entrusted to us, knowing that all the good which exists here will be taken up into the heavenly feast. In union with all creatures, we journey through this land seeking God. Let us sing as we go. May our struggles and our concern for this planet never take away the joy of our hope. Sing, returning home to the